could be. Who knows? There's something due any day. I will know right away, soon as it shows. It'd make 'em cannonballing down through the sky, gleaming its eye, bright as a rose. Who knows? It's only just out of reach, down the block on a beach, under a tree. I got a feeling there's a miracle due, gonna come true, coming to me.
Hi, my name is Dr. Iris Rosenfeld, doctor of chiropractic in Laguna Hills, California for over 29 years and owner of Rosenfeld Wellness Center. I'd like to welcome you all this week to my radio show, Attitude Adjustment, where I interview inspiring and motivational guests on the second and fourth Tuesday of every month, 2 p.m. Pacific Time and 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We stretch your limits as to what is possible. Each week we tackle an issue and share how to create a healthier lifestyle, live without pain, and embrace small nutritional and wellness changes that make a big difference. This week, I'm very happy to have Susan Sherbert with me. Susan, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi, Dr. Harris.
I'm so happy to have you here today, and I would love for our listeners to know a little bit more about you, because you are one amazing woman. So Susan says this, and I'm quoting her. I'm going to quote this really cool statement that I read about her. Imagine how powerful your life could be if you were to think like an excited little four-year-old. And I love that, Susan, because so many of us, we're adults and we forget what it's like to think like a child anymore.
Yeah, that's sort of my mission and just my passion is we were all young once. Even if we didn't have a great childhood, we were still young. And at that age, you're just creative and you're fearless and you just have all these wonderful things. And then we grow up and we lose all these. And so my book, my mission, my passion is to help adults to have more fun in their life and just really enjoy it by learning to think like a little four-year-old. We need to act like a grown-up, responsible adult, but we need to think like that with the freedom and the creativity of a little child.
I love it. So fun is a childish emotion, and Susan can't contain the enthusiasm for her book, Grown-Ups Don't Skip, Have Fun, Be Happy, Enjoy Life. Her message has the potential to change lives because her childlike thinking helps you discover some of the youthful qualities and traits that you may have forgotten. Do you have a big, bold dream? Do you live a life full of passion and joy? If not, then Susan can help you reconnect with your imagination and creativity and shift your focus from negativity and fear to the world of full excitement and possibility. Susan's purpose is to help people smile. In addition to Grown-Ups Don't Skip, she wrote a silver award-winning humor column, sold over 4,000 copies of her humorous book about short sheeting a bed, and written over 50 original corny joke books. I love it. She is a blogger, she's an inspirational speaker, and Susan is presently working on another book entitled A White Hat and Rose-Colored Glasses. So, with all that great information, I would love for you to describe first a little bit about your first book.
I always like to start with a story that I call The Scary Jelly Bean, because it really explains everything perfectly. In the movie Harry Potter, they had these jelly beans. They were called every flavor jelly beans, mm-hmm. Dirt, grass, sardines, literally every flavor. And of course they commercialize everything. So I found a box of these jelly beans. And, I had all these adults sitting around the table one day, and I thought, oh, I got to do something fun with these adults and these jelly beans. So I started putting them in a bowl, and I couldn't tell the difference between the speckles on the Tutti Frutti and the speckles on the vomit.
Oh.
But they both went in the bowl. The good flavor, the bad flavor, everything went in the bowl. Now, if I hand that bowl of jelly beans to a little four-year-old, they're going to be excited. They're going to take one. They're going to want the jelly bean. If they get the Tutti Frutti, they're excited. And even if they get the vomit, they're, yeah, I got the bad one. You know, it's like a grand adventure, and they're just not afraid. And it's just, you know, they can't wait to have a jelly bean. But if I take that bowl and give it to some grown-ups. They, just the fact there's one bad jelly bean, they resist. They don't want to take one. That bad flavor spoils everything, and it's too much of a risk to take a chance. And come on, it's a jelly bean. If you get a bad jelly bean, you spit it out. But as adults, we have this resistance to one bad thing. And I always like to say, when life hands you that flavorful bowl of opportunities, do you act like that just fearless little four-year-old, or do you act like the fearful adult that we've grown up to become? And that, to me, just summarizes the whole message that I'm trying to get across, is we need to think like that little kid and not let one little, you know, jelly bean spoil everything.
Mm-hmm. And that's so true, because we as adults, I think we overthink. Yes.
Yes. Yes. We think, we analyze, our mind just goes in just weird ways.
So talking about that, why is our imagination so important?
To me, imagination is probably one of the first things that we lose as a child. I mean, you hand a kid a stick or a box or anything, and they play and they make all kinds of just awesome things about it. And as adults, we don't use our imagination. We stick with reality. We're reality-based, and we just forget to dream about the future. I have a lot of stories in my book about the importance of imagination. But one of the things that we forget is that our brain kind of extrapolate things. Once your brain sees one little thing, it can explode it in a million different ways. And that's why imagination is important, because if you can find one little teeny tiny dream, it can be build and grow to be just immense. But imagination is also good for the positive as well as the negative. You can find one little bad thing, and you can let your imagination turn that into the biggest, you know, scary boogeyman you've ever met. Mm-hmm. And the other point about imagination is a lot of adults do a lot of visualization. But to me, visualization is imagination. They're the same thing. The only difference is a visualization is a grown-up word. So adults need to visualize. They need to think, oh my gosh, I have to sit down in this quiet place and really visualize. To our kids, they just use their imagination all the time in a very natural state. But it's not a natural state to us grown-ups.
And I'm curious, in your book, you just mentioned something about sometimes adults have a tendency, or in kids too, to go a little bit on more on the negative side. How do you give any advice as far as how to stop the brain from going negative and stay more on that other end of it?
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff about that, and particularly in the new book that I'm working on, I talk a lot about that, because what I've discovered is that the reason we have so much negativity as adults is because our brains as adults, as grown-ups, are programmed to protect us, to keep us safe. So we focus on that negative. The negative becomes something that we just focus on because our brain says, oh, there's trouble. I need to keep it safe. As kids, adults keep us safe, so we don't have to really worry about it. As adults, we tend to focus on the safety. But let's say you're a bit shy or uncomfortable, or, you know, speaking, people don't like public speaking, all that kind of stuff. But one of the things I like to tell people is it's not personal. You know, if somebody doesn't call you back, it's not because they don't like you. It's not because anything that you did. It's because other people got busy. Or I talk about people, if they go on a first date, they just create all kinds of scenarios in their heads about all kinds of just crazy things. And I try to tell people, look, think of it as a play date. You go in, you show up, you have a good time, and you leave. You just don't bring all of that personal garbage and thinking and everything in. Just almost like live for the now, show up and enjoy it. Mm. And let other things take care of themselves.
That is really great advice. Show up like a play date. I love that.
Yeah, because kids will play and then they leave and they don't worry about it. They don't look for long-term relationships. They're not looking to marry the person. They can play with somebody, never see them again, but they have a good time. But we as adults just have a hard time with that.
Yeah, that's really great. So what advice would you give adults who maybe they get a little shy, they're in some kind of situation, a party or some social gathering, and they feel a little shy, a little uncomfortable, they just don't feel like they fit in?
In my book, I have a talk about finding the common bond. And it's one of these things where you really just need to talk with people and focus on what you can find that's in common. I have a thing about, for example, you're in a dinner party and you find out somebody else is from Chicago. Oh, I grew up in Chicago. All of a sudden you have that common bond and the conversation completely changes and you go in a different direction because you both have something in common. Maybe you both like the same restaurants or you both go to the same church. So when you're in a setting, you really want to just sort of look for and find the common bond. And also, like I said earlier, you want to walk in the door without the judgment. People aren't judging me. It's just a play date. I'm here at a party. I'm going to have fun and enjoy it.
And I love that. So, Susan, I would love for you to share with our listeners, what was it that made you decide? I mean, I remember when I met you recently and you were telling me about your book, and I've never heard of anyone who wrote a book about this. What was the catalyst that got you to think of writing this book? Grown-ups don't skip, have fun, be happy, enjoy life.
This book has been like 20 years in the making, and originally I have the party house and, you know, I'm kind of fun. So originally the book was like about party games for grown-ups, just things that we could do for fun. Mm-hmm. And when I started looking at it, I kind of started doing a little more analytical. I was just trying to think why, and get frustrated. Why do people not want to have fun? A party is a party. The whole purpose of a party is to show up and enjoy yourself and have a good time. And why people won't go to a party. I don't understand. So I think a lot of the book has grown into, instead of just here's a party game and here's, you know, ways to have fun, it's helping me help you understand why you're not having fun. Because fun is fun. There's kind of nothing better. Why would you not spend your life enjoying something instead of, you know, working and getting caught up in the whole rest of the world? Fun should be important. Mm-hmm. And we just, I don't always understand why adults don't put the priority on fun that it should be.
I think because we all get caught up in the day-to-day, the mess, the gook. You get so caught up in the family and work and the responsibility.
Yes.
That we need someone like you, Susan, who can take us out of it. Yes?
Yeah, but I found it frustrating because I think my message is important and people say, yeah, we need to have more fun. And then they go back to doing what they've always done. And I find that frustrating because, like, yes, everybody I talk to says, yes, I need to have more fun. But not everybody I talk to is having fun.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think it is? Why do you think people are so afraid of having fun?
You know, it's actually interesting because when I do my speaking engagements, I will ask a whole room full of people. I'll ask anybody, is anybody here afraid to have fun? Nobody ever raises their hand. And I said, are you kidding me? Nobody here is afraid to have fun. One of our number one fears is we're afraid to look silly. We're afraid to get hurt. Mm. We're afraid of what other people think. I mean, the title of the book is called Grown-Ups Don't Skip. And the only reason I can think of as to why we don't skip is because we're afraid of what other people think. We're afraid of being judged.
Or maybe we'll fall and skip over our feet or something.
Yeah. But that's the whole point, is we don't have fun because we're afraid. We're afraid. You made my point valid. We're afraid we might trip. We're afraid we might get hurt. We're afraid. And I just ask you, are you afraid of having fun? No, I'm not. Well, that's not quite truthful. You are. It's fun is fun, but we're just afraid of all the other things that go with it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Susan, we are just about to take a very quick break, and we will be right back.
Okay.
Glad you were able to be with us today. We are taking a short break. If you would like to ask our guest a question during the next segment of our show, please contact innerlightradio@yahoo.com or call 310-928-7733. As a doctor of chiropractic in Laguna Hills, California for over 27 years, and owner of Rosenfeld Wellness Center, my staff and I are compassionate health experts. Through our integrative approach, we create miraculous breakthroughs in your physical and emotional health. using cutting-edge technologies, along with our inspirational and healing touch, we customize wellness packages to optimize your quality of life so that you can live your best life without pain. You are welcome to contact Dr. Iris by going to her website, www.driris.com. Looking forward to sharing this powerful second part of our show today. Hi, my name is Dr. Iris Rosenfeld, and I'm very happy to have Susan Sherbert with us today. And we're talking about Susan's book, The Fun of Youth. And Susan was just talking to us about basically not being so afraid, and when you go out on a date or you're going away or doing something, to make it more like into a play date. And when you go to a party, not to be so afraid and worry and be uncomfortable in a social situation. Instead, think of maybe like a common bond that you could create with other people in the room. And Susan, I know you have written so much out there in addition to this book. In your bio, you told me that you sold over 4,000 copies of a humorous book about short sheeting a bed. Can you tell us a little bit about that? That sounds really interesting.
Yeah, that's kind of how I got started with my book. I don't even know how or why, but I wrote the book about short sheeting a bed. It's kind of on my website. You can go to funhappyandjoy.com and there's stuff on it about there. But it's a practical joke where you go to get into bed and you can't because the sheets are folded in such a way that your feet get stuck. And I wrote a 28-page book about it. You can't short sheet a teenager's bed because they don't make their beds in the first place. A whole bunch of funny stuff. Mm. And I was trying to sell it, and somebody says, oh, yeah, you should sell it to the bedding and linen chains. And I thought, well, it's not a retail book. It can't just sit like on the shelf. So I had an idea, and I made a phone call, and I called up the corporate office and said, hey, I have an idea. Who would I send it to? So I typed up a letter. And I made a copy of the book, and I put it in an envelope. And the letter basically said, here's a fun book, and here's ways you could market it. Maybe you could market it as a gift with purchase for sheets for kids when they go back to school, like the mm-hmm. sheets, the college mm-hmm. kids.
Absolutely.
I didn't do anything else. I put the letter and the book in an envelope, and I mailed it off. So I took some action. I took a little bit of a risk by mailing that off. 2 weeks later, they called me back and they said, we like it. We're going with it. We want 2,000 copies.
Wow.
I had no idea what I was – I'd learned how to make invoices. I'd learned shipping, packing, and purchase orders. It was a whole big grand adventure. And I kind of actually am glad you asked this story, because the story is one, it would never happen if I didn't take the risk. I had a little bit of creativity in the fact that I came up with a creative way to market it. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of luck because the timing was perfect and they went with it. And so it's just – you know, really kind of a fun story. And it validated my writing skills. I kind of became an author because somebody liked the book. The book was – I wrote it myself, but somebody liked it well enough to buy it, which means gave me all kinds of credibility saying, oh, wow, I guess I really am an author because I've got the confidence now.
That's great. And what about your corny joke books?
Those – I've got about 50 different corny joke books on every subject you can think of. And they started out as promotional products, kind of like the promotional product for the joke book. One of the clients was doing a customer appreciation, so I did horse racing jokes for customer appreciation. And then somebody was doing a wedding, and they wanted me to write jokes for the wedding shower. And then they were having a baby, and they wanted me to do jokes for the baby shower. And it just kind of went on and on, and then all of a sudden my brain was wired to do corny jokes, and
okay,
I come up with corny jokes on anything.
Is your brain wired right now to give us some corny jokes, or at least one? Sure.
Yeah, it's coming up on Valentine's Day, so
sure.
Why was the art teacher touched by the handmade Valentine card? Because it was heartfelt.
Oh, that's cute.
My favorite one that I wrote is, what's the fastest way to become a vegetarian? Quit cold turkey.
Oh, that's cute. Got it. very cute. So,
yeah, they're very silly. They're silly and they're light and they're easy, but they're fun. And so it just fits my personality. Wow.
So you know that my show is called Attitude Adjustment. So I would love for you to share two things from your professional opinion that would shift our listeners' attitudes.
The first, and it goes back to if you're at a party or you're unsure, a little bit shy, and I talk about trying to find that common bond, my suggestion is ask people what they do for fun. Everybody goes to these networking groups or parties or everything, and the first question everybody asks is, so what do you do? Well, I don't really – I mean, if I asked you if you were a doctor, we would have a limited conversation. If I asked you what you do for fun, we might find out that we both cook or we both roller skate. There's just – it opens up the possibility and it changes the way – the whole conversation. I've changed a whole room by simply asking people what they do for fun as opposed to what they do for a living. A group of networking people that see each other every week, all of a sudden I ask them what to do for fun, and one person finds out that he goes to the same church as somebody else, or somebody finds out that they like knitting and the other person likes knitting. They didn't know these things because they're so focused on business and other, you know, adult things. Mm-hmm. So super simple, number one, attitude adjustment. Ask people what they do for fun. It will change everything.
I love it. And another one, can you give us?
The other one, and this goes back to my new book that I'm working on, and my new book is titled The White Hat and Rose Colored Glasses, and it has to do with why I am so proud to wear my rose colored glasses. In fact, when I had to get a new prescription, I actually got a pair of glasses that has a rose colored tint. And to me, the rose-colored glasses are very important because, like we discussed earlier, negativity is – we focus on negativity. We can't avoid it. Our body wants to keep us safe, so we look for the negative stuff. And the reason I love the rose-colored glasses is because it just balances out our vision so that we can say, look, we're going to see the negative stuff, but if you're wearing the rose-colored glasses, we'll also start looking for the positive stuff. Mm-hmm. And so it's not like we're wearing blinders, which most people think of rose-colored glasses as you only see the positive. I love the rose-colored glasses because it's saying, look, let's even though there's negative out there, let's also remember that there's a positive to counter that.
Mm-hmm. So can you tell us about your free booklet that's on your website?
On my book, it's called 7 Simple Ways to Have More Fun. And you can go to the website, which is funhappyenjoy.com, and download it. In fact, I don't even ask for email or anything. You just click it and you can download it. Mm-hmm. And there's one part that I like from the book. One of my 7 simple ways is to say yes. The people that are out having fun, enjoying life, and having a good time, the reason people are out having fun is because they're out having fun. They don't sit around waiting for people to ask them to come out and play. They say yes. You want to come to party? Yes. You want to go to the movies? Yes. If you could just not maybe wait, I'll see. No. Somebody asks you, you commit, and you say yes. Don't back out. Don't wait for an excuse. Don't wait for something better. If you want to have more fun and enjoy your life, say yes.
Wow. So now how can people contact you?
Well, they can go to my website, which once again is funhappyenjoy.com, and there's all the contact information there. They can call me. The number is 714-850-9070. And if they can sign up for my newsletter, I send out a newsletter probably about twice a month. It's got always has got corny jokes. And a lot of just fun, interesting, motivational stuff on my newsletter. So go to the website, sign up for the newsletter. I'm also on Facebook at Susan Sherbert and Twitter as well.
Great. So what would you say your big, bold dream is?
I actually have a really good story about this big, bold dream. Do we have enough time to
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. And once again, it goes back to the question number one, we were talking about imagination. Mm-hmm. I think that everybody needs a big, bold dream. And you go any of these self-improvement courses or anything, the first thing everybody asks is, what do you want to do? What's your passion? What's your thing? So one day I was like, I need a big, bold dream, and I couldn't think of it. But if you keep thinking, your brain will find answers. It really will. And so I had just taken up golf, and one day I decided, I'm going to golf every golf course in California. Awesome. That's great. And I was excited because I all of a sudden had a big, bold dream. So I went to my golfing buddies who are very reality-based grown-ups. And the first thing they did is they squashed that dream. You can't do that. How are you going to get onto all those private courses? How are you going to do this? And you don't even know how many courses there are. And adults, they don't mean to, but adults love to squash your dreams. They just are reality-based and think you need to be reality-based and that you need to know absolutely everything and that your dream is impossible because it's just it can't be done. Mm. But it was my dream, and it's my responsibility to keep the dream alive. So I went out and I found a book, 864 courses in that book. Now, I may never get them done, but just the fact that I have that dream and have that vision, it makes a big difference. It's awesome. But the other thing I noticed is once my friends realized that it was my dream and that I was going to keep it alive and I was not going to let them stop, they suddenly became believers in my dream as well. Mm-hmm. They started saying, gee, I wonder who I know who can get you onto some of these private courses. Or, hey, let's not play this course this week. Let's play a new course that you haven't played on. And so all of a sudden people support you and encourage you and want you to have your dream. But they feel like, first of all, they need to squash your dream first. And second of all, it's up to you to keep that dream alive, even though they do squash it. So when I was doing one of my speaking engagements, I asked a group of women if they had any dreams. And there were some golfers in the room. So I asked the lady, what about you? Maybe you'd like to golf Pebble Beach. She says, nope, I can't afford it. I said, you just squashed that dream and you didn't even get a microsecond to think about it. You just said no. I said, maybe you'll get an inheritance and you have money. Maybe you could get it as an anniversary present. There are a lot of ways you could golf it, but you just squashed that dream by said, I can't afford it. Mm-hmm. And that's where the imagination comes in, is we need to imagine that it is possible. Mm-hmm. It's possible. It doesn't have to be likely. It doesn't have to be immediate. It just has to keep the possibility alive in your brain that it can be done. And that makes all the difference in the world.
You just said something that is so true about as adults, I think we think of something. We think, oh, like maybe taking a trip or maybe like you just said with the golf. And then for some reason we go, nope, can't do it. For whatever the reason is, we give these rationalities. But yeah. Instead of saying, wait a second, that's just all the excuses why I can't, instead of what can I do? Let's keep that open for the world of possibility.
Yeah, and I think that possibility is the word. I kind of like to associate imagination with possibility. Mm-hmm. If you imagine it's possible, that's all you need. That one little teeny tiny spark to imagine it's possible, and that will take you amazing places.
I agree so much. Well, we're about to end our show, but I would love for you in a minute or less to leave our listeners with your parting words of wisdom.
I think it would be to wear your rose-colored glasses. Start seeing the possibility, start seeing your dreams, and just start seeing the positive and trying to offset the negativity that is much more natural. The positive good stuff is not really a natural state. Yet it was as a child, but it's not as an adult, and that's what we need to get back to.
Wow. Well, thank you so much. It's been such a treat to have you.
Well, thank you. I've enjoyed this conversation.
Yes, yes. It's been great having Susan Sherbert with us. You can reach her by going to her website, www.funhappyenjoy.com, or by calling her at 714-850-9070. Please join us on the second and fourth Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time and 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where you will continue to gain insights and inspiration from each of my guests. You are guaranteed to leave with two ways you can adjust your attitude. We look forward to our next show on Tuesday, February 24th with Mary Lou or Vidya Dasi. She is an astrologer and a healer. For further information, contact me, Dr. Iris Rosenfeld. My email is driris@driris.com. My website, www.driris.com. And my thought for today is, People who think they are crazy enough to change the world are the ones who do. Thank you for being here, everybody, and wishing you a healthful day.
Could it be? Yes, it could. Something's coming, something good. If I can wait, something's coming. I don't know what it is, but it is gonna be great. With a click, with a shock, phone will jingle, door will knock. Open the latch, something's coming. Don't know when, but it's soon. Catch the moon, one-handed.